What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Well, good Friday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. At the beginning of today's program, I want to take this opportunity to once again remind you of the Gospel Talk blog. We have an online presence at gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. That address again, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. You can also find that blog very easily just by doing a Google search for Gospel Talk Radio. And at the blog, you'll find our archive of past programs. You'll also find resources that are mentioned on the programs. You'll also have an opportunity there to leave any comments or questions that you may have about anything that you've heard on the program. You can also send your comments or questions to us via email. My email address is gospeltalk@hotmail.com. And I'll do my best to try and answer your questions, perhaps even on the air. That email address again, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Well, for today's program, I want to begin looking with you at some verses from the letter to Titus. And I want to begin with Titus 1, 1 to 3. And there the Word of God says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior." You know, as we begin looking at this little passage here, just spending a few moments reflecting on it, the first thing that comes to mind is that, you know, words matter. In understanding the opening verses of Paul's letter to Titus, there is one little word that makes all the difference. And it's found in the first verse. In the New International Version, this word is translated as "for." Now, in other Bible translations, you'll find "according to." And in Greek, it's the preposition "kata." This word can have a variety of meanings, but it seems to me that its meaning here indicates purpose. Why was Paul appointed a servant and an apostle? Well, for the faith of the elect. There's the word. The word is at the beginning there. For the faith of the elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. And especially those last words, knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. The same Greek preposition is used in that phrase, kata. And here, however, it means the truth which corresponds to godliness. You know what that means? That means that truth and godliness belong together. If we desire to be godly, which we should, if we desire to live holy lives that are pleasing to God, which we should, we need to be passionate about the truth. We need to believe that there is an objective truth, a public objective truth revealed in God's word. And that's what this passage goes on to speak about. We're told that faith rests on God's promise. And that promise is connected to the gospel, to what God has done through Jesus Christ. God is the unlying one. It says, which God, who does not lie, the unlying God. His word is sure. And at the right time, he revealed his word. He revealed the gospel through the preaching of the apostles. You know, this passage here, Titus 1, 1 to 3, is a kind of a sandwich passage. You could visualize it like a sandwich. Verse 1 speaks of Paul being a servant and apostle. And verse 3 concludes by speaking of preaching, which is connected to apostleship, and following the command of God our Savior, which is connected to being a servant. And at the center of the sandwich, the meat of the sandwich, if you want, we find the unlying God's promise of the hope of eternal life. And it's that upon which our faith and knowledge rests. Faith and knowledge don't rest upon the subjective, upon our feelings or emotions or experiences, but upon God's promise, upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he has lived a perfect life in our place, the good news that he has gone to the cross to pay for all our sins, to do that which we could not do for ourselves. Upon the cross, he has taken our place. Apostleship was designed to preach the promise of the good news. And today, apostleship has vanished. Today, we don't have apostles anymore. But God's promise hasn't. God's promise remains. And that promise, even though it's no longer entrusted to apostles, it's still entrusted to servants who are called to preach it, ministers of the Word of God, preachers. And the servants have to be diligent that it is the hope of eternal life that they preach. And when people hear that preaching, when they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and it has to be the preaching of the Word of God, expository preaching, preaching that unfolds all the riches of God's revelation, then those who hear that preaching have to receive it as the authoritative word that it is, and not merely as the word of men, not an opinion that you can take or leave. Then we come to Titus 1 verse 4, where Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior." You know, the greetings in Scripture are probably some of the most overlooked words in the Bible. I've preached on some of these greetings, and I think that pastors should probably preach on greetings at least once per year, just so that we don't take these words from God for granted. Now, in the church of which I'm a pastor, we actually use these words at the beginning of our worship service. They're used as a greeting from God. And that's based on the fact that these letters, when they were written, they were meant to be read also to Christian congregations as they were gathered together for worship. So, you know, in congregations where that's done, and I think that's a good, healthy, biblical practice to do that, where that's done, we need to be actively engaged with what's being said and done. That has to be true for everything we do in public worship. So we're going to spend a few minutes just looking at this greeting here in Titus 1 verse 4. Now, Paul addresses Titus in an interesting way. He calls him his true child, his true son in our common faith. You know, in some churches, there's this habit of referring to ministers or pastors as reverend. You know, some of us have criticized the Roman Catholic Church for calling their priests father. But you know what? When the exegetical rubber hits the road, there is actually more scriptural defense for calling your pastor father than there is for calling him reverend. You know, we see it here in this passage. Paul is writing to Titus, says he's your true son. Well, if Titus is his son, what is Paul? Paul is a father to Titus. And we see something similar in Paul's relationship to the Corinthians as well. So Paul addresses Timothy as his true child according to the common faith. All believers share this faith which Paul preached and which led to the spiritual birth of people like Titus. And what is this common faith about? Well, obviously it's about what I mentioned just a few moments ago. It's about the gospel of what Christ has done for us, apart from us. A common faith which looks to Jesus Christ and fixes its eyes on him, looking to him for every good thing, both for this life and in the life to come. All believers share that faith, and so it is indeed a common faith. And then we find those familiar words, grace, mercy, and peace. Beautiful words. And we need to consider those words individually, but we also need to realize that they have a common source. God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. That's what Paul says there in Titus 1, verse 4. Notice how the Holy Spirit is not mentioned here. That's interesting. He takes a background role, which is more common for him in Scripture. Usually the Holy Spirit, he wants to put the Father and the Savior out front. But nevertheless, we do know from elsewhere that he has a place in this equation. He is the one through whom these blessings are distributed. You cannot receive grace, mercy, and peace without the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who communicates these things to you. He is the one who gives us the Word of God. He inspired the words of Scripture. And he also creates faith in our hearts so that we look to God in faith and we receive grace, mercy, and peace. Again, you think back to that common faith which the Holy Spirit worked in Titus and indeed in all who believe. Now let's consider each of those words individually, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace. You know, someone has said that a good way to describe grace is by looking at it as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. And I think that's a good way of looking at it. But there's more to it than that. It's also helpful to think of grace in terms of receiving the opposite of what you deserve. You think about what we deserve in and of ourselves. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's justice. We deserve to experience hell and damnation forever. But because of Christ, because of everything that he has done for us and in our place, we receive God's favor and love. We deserve to be cast out forever, but because of Christ, we are justified, we are adopted, we are sanctified, and someday we will be glorified. Grace is truly amazing. And then we get mercy as well. Mercy is closely related to grace. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish between the two of them. Mercy can also be described as the opposite of justice, so can grace. We deserved God's wrath on account of our actual and original sin, but because of Christ, we don't encounter it. We don't receive it. And then there's the word peace. The result of grace and mercy is relational. In the Bible, peace is not to be confused with what the Eagles called a peaceful, easy feeling. Peace is about two previously warring parties being reconciled. Peace is about a relationship brought back to what it was created to be. This is what Christ does for us and in us. This is what the gospel results in. It results in reconciliation between God and man. And so reflecting on grace, mercy, and peace, that which is described here in Titus 1:4, our thoughts go entirely to Christ. He is our grace, mercy, and peace. Without him, not one of those words has any depth or any real meaning. And I hope, friends, that you know the grace, mercy, and peace that come through Jesus Christ and through the gospel. I hope that today's message has been a source of encouragement to you, and I hope you'll join me again on Monday, same time, same place. Hope you have a good weekend and a most blessed Lord's Day. Till next time, may God bless you richly in every way.
We're glad to be able to bring these programs to you, courtesy of the generous support of the Canadian and American Reformed Churches in British Columbia and Northwest Washington State. If you've missed a program or you'd like to hear one again, we invite you to check out our blog online. It's at gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. At that blog, you can find the archive of past programs, find resources mentioned on the program, and you can also leave your comments or questions. Again, that blog address, gospeltalkradio, all one word, .blogspot.com. We hope you'll check it out and tell your friends. It was good that you could join us today on Gospel Talk, and we hope you'll tune in again next time.